The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We live our day-to-day lives in the tension of the now and the yet to come, the tension of the present and the uncertain future. And then, I mean, it's the Sunday before a national election. I don't know about you, but the closer this day gets, the more I feel it weighing on me, this wondering, waiting, watching, anticipating, expecting, worrying. Just a few lines down in Matthew's gospel from our reading today that I just read, Jesus will say, "Hey, do not worry about tomorrow, for today's troubles are enough for today." And sometimes I want to look at that and say, "Well, that's easy for you to say, Jesus, Son of God, but you must not really know the things that are on my mind." I've been part of a group of faith leaders here in San Diego from around the county who gather every week to talk about all the divisions that we're witnessing in the communities that we serve. And I'll tell you, for these faith leaders, people who have studied and translated these words from Matthew about blessed are the peacemakers and not worrying about tomorrow, well, there's a lot of worry about tomorrow, especially the day after tomorrow. Because we've seen these divisions in our communities. We've watched things escalate. We've listened to hateful and violent rhetoric in the mouths of pundits and politicians. And here, smack dab in the tension of this moment is where we find ourselves today. Between the now and the not yet. Between the now and the yet to come. Or as the writer of 1 John puts it, what we will be has not yet been revealed. And so what a gift it is today, here in the tension of the now and the yet to come, that we are reminded of the beloved saints of God, that we are surrounded in this cloud of witnesses. What a gift to have All Saints Day this year fall on such a day of uncertainty as today. I'm sure every person who submitted a name to be read aloud today has stories that they could tell at long, long length about how they've been shaped by these beloved saints. But since I'm the one preaching, I get the privilege of telling you about one of the names I put down on the list. A woman named Barbara. To her friends, Barbie. I'll never forget the first time I met Barb. We were having a party in my Chicago apartment, and a few of us were in the backyard grilling hamburgers, and I hear this woman's voice come out from behind the gate in the back alley, and she's like, "Marcus Lorman, Marcus Lorman, Marcus Lorman, are you in there?" And I had no idea who this person was. I was a little confused, so I walked back to the back of this gate, and there was this girl and two guys with her, and I didn't recognize them at all. I'd never seen them before in my life. But there they were smiling at me, and Barb said, "You must be Marcus." And I said, "Hi, yes, I am. And how do you know my name?" And she said, "Well, you don't know me, but I'm Barbie. And I know you very well. I know your girlfriend, Becky. I know your best friends, Matt and Ben. So why don't you let me in the door already? And that was Barbie. Over the next few years, we would all come to be very, very close friends in Chicago, spending holidays and weekends together. And then, as happens with 20 and 30 something, sometime after we all left Chicago for jobs and opportunities and got married to partners in different cities, all that stuff, somewhere in the middle of all of that, Barb was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And over the next couple of years, she underwent every form of treatment, of cancer therapy that you could imagine. And for a moment there, it looked as if the treatments were working. But then, as these things happened, the cancer came back, and it came back much worse. At her funeral, two of Barbie's oldest friends stood up and read a piece that she wrote in that time of tension between the now and the yet to come, during that time of treatment. And she called it Barb's Take on Love. Barbie wrote, and I quote, "As I process the end of my life, as much as one can process such a thing, what I thought most about was how my death would affect you, the people I love. Thinking about you after I died was the thing I found so difficult to imagine in the months and years I carried my disease. It was the thing that left me breathless, the thing that hurt the most, the burden heaviest to carry." And Barb goes on, and I'll just summarize here. She says, "I imagine how these words, as you hear these words read aloud right now, you feel pain. The pain of loss, the pain of disconnection." But she says, "I gotta tell you, it's not pain you feel right now. It's love. It is instead our love. This is what love feels like." And then from beyond the grave, this beloved saint of God, Barbie, goes on to say, "Because this is what love feels like, this hurt, you might be tempted never to do it again because it hurts too much. But I charge you to carry on. Don't stop loving. In fact, love more, love harder, love with intention, love without conditions." This is why we look to the saints on a day like this, today, here in the tension of the now and the yet to come, here on the Sunday before Tuesday. Because these beloved saints of God have gone before us in just such a time, and this multitude of saints continues to speak even from the grave. It reminds me of the song we sometimes sing on Good Friday. "All of us go down to the dust, but even in the grave, we sing our song, alleluia, 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 alleluia." That's Barb's song that I hear today, here in this tension. Don't stop loving, love harder, love with intention, love without condition. And if she can speak it so boldly from that time of uncertainty that she experienced, then so can we. That reading that Brad read, the first reading from Revelation, Revelation is this very chaotic book, right? With violence and dragons and monsters and ugliness of all sorts, just whirling and swirling around in these visions of St. John of Patmos. And you might say that it's actually not just a description of what is to come, but a description of this tension that we live in right now, between the now and the yet to come, that we're always finding ourselves in. And in the middle of that chaos, smack dab in the middle of that chaos, comes this host of saints who are yelling at the top of their lungs, "Blessing and honor and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and power and might be to God forever and ever. Amen." That's the song of the saints coming to us now in the chaos and the whirlwind of the tension between the now and the yet to come, reminding us, recalling us to the truth of who we are. As 1 John puts it, yes, what we will be has not yet been revealed. That's true. But beloved, we are God's children now. Here in this uncertainty, we are still God's children now. And the multitude of saints come to us today and they say, we are God's children in the yet to come. And I think this is something, this multitude of saints, this vision from Revelation, it's not just a vision of what is to come, but it's the vision of something we can emulate today, something that gives us direction and purpose and hope here in uncertainty. It's kind of like this. Despite all the conversations of worry and fear about the outcome of Tuesday's election and the effects on our communities, these faith leaders I mentioned at the start of the sermon, we're going to gather today, this afternoon, on the steps, the east steps of the county administration building down at Waterfront Park. Leaders of Jewish, Muslim, Protestant, Catholic communities, we're all going to stand beside one another at a safe distance here at this moment of tension and uncertainty. And instead of focusing on all the things that divide us, old antagonisms or divisions, this group has decided to unite ourselves in prayer, in a posture of prayer. Just like that heavenly vision from Revelation. We don't all pray the same way. Some bow their heads, some get on their knees, some lift their hands. And if you want to come and see, come see, come join. You can find details about how to see it live streamed online, or you can come in person at 2:00. But this is the vision of the saints. All of us go down to the dust. And even in the grave, we sing our song, Alleluia. Beloved saints of God, we are surrounded in a host of witnesses today, holding us up, empowering us, helping us remember who we are in the time of uncertainty, here in the tension of the now and the yet to come. And this host is singing God's praises. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow and the day after that, we will be called children of God, and that's unchanging. Thanks be to God. Amen.